Hello and welcome back to Camp Half Pod. We are your head counselors. I'm Erin, daughter of Athena.
And I'm Manasa, daughter of Persephone. This week we're beginning The Sun and the Star with chapters 1 through 8.
Welcome back to our podcast. I think this is the longest break that we've taken.
I think so too.
In 3 years.
I mean, so I think the breaks are usually like because we usually take them in December at the end of the year, and it's just, it's like the month of December usually, but we have things coming out and we start pre-recording for January, like after Christmas. Yeah. So, yeah, I think genuinely this is the longest break we've taken.
Wow. Back in front of the mic. Same mic. I've had the same mic the whole time.
Me too. I have another one that I think is at my parents' house for when I go over there and don't want to lug this back and forth.
You have two studios.
I have two studios. That's what you're saying. Yeah. So sometimes if there's echoing or you hear, you know, elderly people yelling at each other, that's...
Elderly people. Thank God your parents don't listen to this.
Well, I was gonna say adults, and I was like, oh, people, adults yell in my apartment too. So
that's true. Adults yell everywhere, actually.
Everywhere. They don't shut up. Okay. How was your break, Erin?
My break was good. I feel like I'm like, what has been the last 2 months since we last recorded? What has happened in my life? I don't know. I went on a short trip. I'm trying to plan out other trips, trying to plan out things to look forward to. There's a bunny that it lives in my on my street that I've named, and I've been on a mission to befriend it. It is not a wild bunny. It's like black and white. It's definitely someone's pet situation.
And or it's loose on the street?
I think it was a bunny that was dumped, but it's black and white, so I named it Tuxedo. It's named,
that's
I call
cute.
It Tux. But it befriended the wild bunnies, and they all hang out together now. And it's like, I feel like I'm watching a children's book in my yard.
Have you seen the bunnies on Whidbey Island?
No.
So there's like...
Are they special?
Yeah, they all look like bunnies that you would have like as a pet.
Yeah.
Because they, so there's like probably like 15 bunnies to one person on the island. Because
oh my God.
In the 80s, I believe, or early 90s, they used to have like a little festival where you could chase a bunny. And if you caught it, like they brought bunnies in little pens. And if you caught it, you got to keep a bunny. And a bunch of bunnies escaped. And they have there's no natural, like not enough natural predators on the island. And so they have completely burrowed underneath the school and they've just infested the whole island. They're adorable. They're so fluffy and they've got floppy ears. The dogs go after them a lot. So you can imagine.
Yeah, Maggie lets us know every time my friend Tuxedo is in our yard. She's barking because there's a FedEx truck.
How dare it?
Another enemy. But yeah, how was your break? Probably a little more eventful than naming a wild rabbit and watching it from your window.
I don't know. That sounds pretty fun to me. I had a good break. I went to Mexico for my friend's wedding. That was a lot of fun. And then I came back and then... A few days later, I went to India to go visit some family and spend a little bit of time there. So I was there for 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks. Just got back last week and I think I have insomnia because at first I was like, it's jet lag. At first I was like, this is jet lag. And now it's turned into proper insomnia. So I'm a zombie at the moment.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see how jet lag would trigger that.
I think so too. Well, at first I was like, oh, I keep waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and not being able to sleep because my body just doesn't understand. But now it's more of like, I'm not sleepy. I think the month March, I love it because spring happens, but I always have an existential crisis around my birthday because, you know, time is passing and I can't stop it. And it completely calms down the moment my birthday happens. But my birthday also has been, like, not historically been good luck for me. So I'm always nervous. And I'm just a little bit on edge. So I think that's triggered a little bit of an insomnia. Also, I've gone out because I've been in town and I, like, want to see some of my friends who live in the city and stuff like that. So I've gone out. And every time I have to show my ID at a bar, they say, birthday's coming up. And then I don't sleep at night. So...
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
See, that's why I feel like, yeah, I don't like doing, I like doing big things for my birthday, but then it also stresses me out. And I feel like it's not worth it beforehand. Like, I'd rather just, like, go away for the weekend and, like, not make it a big thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But maybe it's just getting older is realizing that, like, the birthday parties of our youth are gone.
I don't want birthday parties. I just want to, like, use it as an excuse to go away. I also think this is the first year in a long time that I haven't been in school. And normally this would be finals for me. And so I think my body's in fight or flight because normally I'd be studying for finals right now.
The body keeps the score.
It does. And it doesn't know what to do. It's like, why are you resting? Like, you should be losing your mind. Over
this
science.
A great segue into Nico's state of mind in these chapters. Wow.
That is true.
Not science, but, you know.
Trauma.
Yeah. How the body remembers. But as we know, historically, anytime that you're sleep deprived, you make really great creative decisions. So I think any episode we've had where one of us has been sleep deprived, it's been interesting. We've, you know, as we've talked about on this podcast, our story that we wrote before, but have we talked about Toto before?
I'm sure it's your favorite conversation. You're like, do you remember Toto? How? Hey, I was also Toto? On a lot of cold medicine, and I had a sinus and ear infection. So I was on several antibiotics when I wrote Toto.
Toto from The Wizard of Oz showed up in our YA novel that we wrote when we were 15. I feel like we're really getting off track here, but it's okay. It's like, it's our first episode back, you know? So people have to remember what they come here for. Mm. And it's apparently
and they can
us.
Leave, yeah.
They're gonna turn, so maybe I'll look at the data, see like how many people turn the episode off after 5 minutes. They're like, this is not the vibe I wanted. This is not the energy I want to bring into whatever year it is.
Jesus.
March. I almost said the new year, but that doesn't work anymore. It's not the new year anymore. That's okay.
The year of March.
The year of March. We were recording this on the Ides of March, actually. It will come out in April, but that is a very special day within the Percy Jackson fandom as being, you know, adjacent to Roman historical figures, so.
Okay, why don't you tell us about Toto, Aaron?
We're good. We can save that one for another time. A deep dive on Toto.
Well, yeah, what we should deep dive into is Nico's trauma. This boy is going through it. So we decided to do The Sun and the Stars, the Sun and the Star, just a single
There's only
star.
One star.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Over The Chalice of the Gods, because we know that The Chalice of the Gods is a trilogy. The second book is coming out in September, so we thought it would be more fun to do this one. I also got a lot more emails about this one, so I thought, you know, it's a great opportunity for us to start it earlier. And that way also we can finish Chalice of the Gods and hopefully around that time pick up the second book and start the second book there and make it continuous. So that when we finish the second book, maybe we'll have more information on the show. I don't know. My
gosh,
dream. I know it's not. I know it's probably going to come out in 2025, late 2025.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll need to fill in some content until then. But you know, it'll be
I'll
good to
Toto for then.
2025. Yeah. Jesus.
I will say, in the polls, it was making me laugh a lot because I put out polls on both Instagram and on Spotify about which book we should do next, and on Instagram, 52% said in the Star, 48% Chalice, and on Spotify it was the exact reverse. Or it was 43 or 53 and 47 for the opposite on Spotify. So everyone was really 50-50. So we were kind of like, well, we don't win either way. So I guess that we are going to save the part of the trilogy for discussing that closer to when the second book comes out.
Exactly.
But we're hoping to do like 8 chapters at a time. A lot, we'll talk about this more, but since this book is written differently, it's co-written with another author, there feels like there's a lot more like emotional exposition and exploration, which like we love to talk about, but it doesn't take it quite as long to describe, whereas a lot of Rick's books historically will be like 40 different mythological figures show up in a chapter. Yeah. Whereas these are like Nico thinking about his trauma. So we'll probably not be going as in-depth on every little conversation that happens in each chapter, but we will just talk about those themes as we do.
And I think it's more fun to discuss it between you and I of like what we think about his emotions, how he's framing his relationship, et cetera, rather than talking about the way it's described.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right, so our summary of this episode. Nico and Will, who are the last remaining campers, get a harrowing quest that sends them to see old friends.
Mm. Mm. Alrighty, so I have the first 4 chapters. And the fun thing about this book is there's also weird canoe flash forward scenes that are not really chapters. So I guess we're just lumping them into the chapters. But that is what this book opens with. And this is like an ongoing thing throughout this book. It is a flash forward. It is only a page in the very first chapter in which Nico is asked by a nymph named Gorgira. Don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Kind of sounds like a drag name, you know?
Ooh.
Gorgira.
Yes. Gorgira.
Yeah. I like her. And he is asked by her to tell a story. Will in this scene is weak and struggling beside Nico, and Nico begins telling the story to the nymph of how the two of them, Nico and Will, met. And then scene changes. We get to start actually chapter 1, which I guess is in the present, what is happening. So we get to see what Nico has been up to after the events of Trials of Loop Hollow. And it turns out that this first scene we open with, he's being subjected to weird hypothetical questions by Will's siblings. And I was like, imagine Nico meeting us. I think he would die, rather die. We'd be like, so what color cape would you want besides black? You can't choose black, Nico.
It's like, what animal would you turn into, and why would it be a worm?
Nico would not pick a worm. He'd pick like a bat. And we'd be like, you can't pick an edgy animal. That's like, do something surprising.
Are bats edgy? They're just kind of weird.
Yeah. I think they're like an edgy animal. Like it's freaking bats, you know?
But I think an edgy animal is like, oh, like I love an alligator. No, that's not as edgy.
No.
I'm going to retry that one.
I think that people who like alligators are like kind of weird, you know?
Like a jaguar.
Like an alligator kid.
Like a panther. Like, I am a black panther, you know?
Ooh, yeah, okay.
That'll be Nico's vibe, rather than a bat. It's like a bit on the nose, don't you think?
That's kind of fun. I don't know. Why don't we ask him? Get Rick on the podcast and be like, Rick, tell us.
What animal would Nico be if he could be an animal?
And Rick would probably be like, a bat. And then we'd be and I'd be like, thank you. Nico is being asked by Will's siblings which Star Wars character he'd date, and he says Darth Vader, which I'm very alarmed by. But we did get, this is one of our lightning bolt questions, we'll do it early. We got an audio message from someone that was specifically about this scene, so I'm going to play this for you, and it ends in a lightning bolt question.
Hey Aaron, hey Monisa, it's Nora from Germany, and I've been listening to you guys since 2022, and your podcast has been like super fun for me to spend my time when going to university or in my free time, just while cooking and everything, and yeah, I really fell deeper in love with Percy Jackson and the following series thanks to you guys. And the lightning bolt question I have for you guys is from the first chapter of The Sun and the Star, is for you to answer the same question that Nico and Will and his siblings answer at the beginning. Like, who would you go on a date with from the Star Wars universe? I don't know if you are even into Star Wars, but yeah, that's my question. Thank you guys so much.
I love that. Thanks that for sending that.
That was very nice. Yeah.
That was so sweet. I'm like, I actually just wanted to play that to hear the compliments. No.
No, wait. I thought the question was like, which Star Wars villain? You're telling me that out of the entire universe, Nico chose Darth Vader?
I think so. If you had to, let me. I think. Maybe, I don't know.
Because then they thought, did they talk about like Kylo Ren? They do and talk stuff. About,
okay, I don't think it's ever actually said what the question is. Because he says, like, I've made a decision. We're going to spend the whole podcast talking about this. And he's like, if I had to choose, it'd be Darth Vader. And they're like, and then they're all responding to it. And then it says, were those all characters in Star Wars? I think they're asking about generally, like, all characters.
My God, why is this kid psychotic? Darth Vader is, like, well, also, Darth Vader is, like, 60. Nico, your daddy issues are showing.
Well, Anakin. Prequel Anakin. Say
prequel Anakin. He said Darth Vader.
He was specifically talking about, like, the helmet as well, so.
He wants crispy Anakin.
He wants crispy fried chicken Anakin.
Fried chicken Anakin. Jesus. Okay, so Nico is a lot more messed up than we originally thought.
This is an entire situation. I'm, like, really looking for where the question is specifically said, and I don't think it is, but the context clues, this is what I'm going to fixate on, is where Will says, like, or Kayla says, why would you choose Vader when Kylo Ren is right there? And then Will says, I was hoping for a deep cut, like General Grievous or Dryden Voss, which are all villains.
They're all villains, so it has to be which villain would you...
But the question General that we were Grievous. Asked before, yeah, no thanks.
Will.
Will. The question that our listener asked us is which overall Star Wars character? So I guess we can answer both.
Okay.
Because I will say when I listened to the audio messages, I spoke out loud my answer to myself alone. It is Han Solo. No question for me.
That's true.
I know he's an ass, but like...
He could be my ass.
I could fix him. Of the villains, though?
Yeah, should we save this for... That. Yeah, we should save answering for the end, because I think we have a lot of plot to get through.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I'll think on it till the end. Yeah, we'll get back to it. Go. But, you know, just planting that seed for now. It's very relevant. Besides this going on, besides answering these weird questions from Will's siblings, things have been fairly calm at camp, which is very weird for Nico. Just like you were like, it's weird for me not to have finals.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable. After their Star Wars discussion, Austin and Kayla are heading home, and Will and Nico are some of the only campers left for the fall. Like, not only is the entire demigod world pretty quiet right now, but so is camp itself. It's like reflecting that. Yet still, Rachel's most recent prophecy, which only Nico and Will have heard, and we also have not heard. It was the one that was mentioned at the end of Trials of Apollo, and Apollo like fell off his seat or whatever and didn't hear it conveniently. It is looming over Nico. And it also doesn't help that he has been hearing a voice calling out to him for help in his dreams. His dreams have been very bad lately, so bad that he's reached out to Mr. D for help, being the god of madness. I'm like, honestly, I'm surprised Mr. D doesn't have a queue of people waiting for help. Like, he doesn't have a wait list. This is impressive.
I think Mr. D just says no to everyone. Nico's probably his favorite.
Yeah, I kind of love that Mr. D, like, Nico says that he was kind of surprised that Mr. D wanted to help him and was taking an interest in it. There's one dream, though, in particular, the dream with that voice, that is different for Nico. It's not a PTSD flashback. It's not a weird anxiety nightmare. It is a message asking him for help. And he knows it's coming from Tartarus. He can, like, since he's a child of the underworld, he can sense how deep below the voice is coming from. And he intuits, like, it must be Bob the Titan. He thinks about Bob all the time, unlike Percy and Annabeth, who just straight up forgot about Bob and, like,
100%.
living their best life in college. But Nico thinks about Bob all the time and how they left him there. He has a particularly bad version of this dream in which various people from his life are all urging him to go help Bob and to listen. And this includes his dead mother, his dead sister, dead Michael Yu, which was really a throwback. I forgot
I
about
know,
him.
deep cut.
Deep cut, yeah. Kronos himself also. And his old crush Percy. This whole, like, it's chapters 3 and 4. It's basically just Nico trauma recap time. I was like, we need like game show music for this. Like, welcome to Nico trauma recap time. Remember Nico? His mom died, his sister died, he watched a bunch of children also die in war, and then he developed a crush on Percy, who like only is interested in Annabeth. Publicly outed by Cupid. And then the one person he trusted with his secret, Jason, also died. And all of this is essentially told to us through a weird, distorted dream where he's sort of falling through these scenes, and then the people in the scenes are like, listen to the voice. And so then Nico wakes up from his trauma recap dream in time to get some more trauma. I feel like this will happen throughout the book because there's a lot of trauma in this boy. Rachel Elizabeth Dare bursts into the room with a new prophecy to deliver. And that is the end of the first four chapters. A lot of them, like we said, are like emotional exposition and also camp exposition, as a lot of Rick's books do at the beginning. A little recap on what being a demigod is. Of my notes overall, I think that it's really interesting to start the book with a flash forward. What did you think of that when you first read that?
I was so confused.
Same.
I was like, what is happening? And then the second flash forward made me kind of understand a little bit, but it confused me again. I'm trying to place it. As of this moment, I'm hoping to catch up on the rest of the book before we do our next episode. But as of this moment, I've only read these chapters that we're talking about, so I don't know anything else that happens in this book. So I have no idea what the scene is, what it means. I'm guessing it's in Tartarus and they're trying to gain passage or ask for some help somehow, and it's a story exchange for help. But it just doesn't make sense because I think it ends with like Nico getting ready to tell a story, and then the story is not what's being told in the next chapter, so it was a little confusing. It wasn't my favorite thing that they've done.
It's an interesting like literary device to start with a flash forward, and then you are spending a lot of the book or the story trying to figure out like how they get to that point. But I will say, and I don't want to be nitpicky because I'm like, I don't want to just like pick books apart. That's not what we do. We pick Jason apart. No.
He's been through enough.
I know, he really has. He really has. But it is an interesting one because a lot of the time in writing, when you start with a flash forward, you will often start with something that's very high stakes so that the tension is upped, and then you get to the past and you're like, how did they get to that situation where like someone died or they're in jail or whatever. And while having read this book, the context of this scene is a little more high stakes than it comes across, but the way it reads is just like they're just talking to some lady. I guess Will is dying. I don't know.
Yeah,
Like
I'm not
he's
sure.
tired. He needs a nap. It's an interesting choice, I think, of all the moments in this book to start with as flash forwards. I don't know if this is the one that I would have picked, but I do like that it changes it up from the usual formula of Rick's books. And my other note is that I still love that Nico and Will like use the term significant annoyance. I think
It's
that's
very
the
cute.
best pet name I've ever heard.
It's also very like, how old are they? 4, 15 at this point?
Yeah, I think they're 15 or 16 by now, because Percy's in college.
Yeah.
He's 18, and Nico's 2 years younger, I think. But Rick doesn't know the timeline. No, Rick's like, they're just however old you want them to be.
Just on vibes, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so what was fun, before I get into my chapters, is Aaron texted me and was like, we should do four chapters because, like, it's just about Nico's, like, trauma and, like, stuff we already know. And then I got just so much information.
A lot happened in yours. I was looking at your notes and I was like, oh, that all happened in four chapters?
Yeah.
All right, Rick is back on his bullshit of having, like, a million things happen per chapter.
Yeah. All right, so I have chapters 5 through 8. So Nico and Will hear Rachel's prophecy spew out of her. So the prophecy is, go forth and find the one who calls your name, who suffers and despairs for refusing to remain. There leave something of equal value behind, or your body and soul no one will ever find. So at this point, by the way, Nico and Will are in the big house with Chiron, and Chiron is, like, losing his mind. He's like, is this a prophecy? I can't believe it. Like, what does this mean? And Nico's like, oh, okay. So, like, this confirms it. And they tell Chiron they've actually heard this prophecy before. And they already know who it's about. They know it's about Bob. And they know that Nico has to go down to Tartarus to save him. Actually, Rachel explains to them that she's being haunted by this prophecy. Basically, it's happened to her about 15 times since she first told him it at the end of Trials of Apollo, and it seems like it's going to continue to haunt her until Nico completes the quest. Mr. D at this moment decides to join the conversation, and he shows surprising concern for Nico's safety and mental health, which is hilarious that of all the children, Nico is Mr. D's favorite. Nico, who is like the one kid everyone kind of like is afraid of and stays away from. Which makes sense. Also, Mr. D likes to be chaotic.
Well, and Mr. D is, like, you know, a harder exterior. But this is showing that deep down, maybe he cares about one person.
And it's definitely not Percy.
No.
Yeah. Okay, so Nico confesses that he's being tormented by his dreams. And to a point, it's becoming absurd. Like, even during his little nightmare fest that he was having... He had a moment, an out-of-body moment, where he was like, I kind of get the point. It's overkill. Like, you are showing me so much and saying the same thing over and over again. No longer find it scary. It's kind of becoming annoying, which I thought is very relatable. When my dream becomes a little bit too repetitive, I tend to fall out of it and be like, wait a second, that's stupid. And then I wake up. So, Nico has made up his mind that he has to go to Tartarus, and an equally stubborn Will decides that he has to join him. Will does not want Nico going to Tartarus, for obvious reasons. And Nico does not want Will to join him for obvious reasons, but both of them are not willing to leave the other behind. So they're going to go, and that is actually against the advice of Chiron and Mr. D. Mr. D, who has an opinion and says he thinks it's going to be really detrimental for Nico's health and mental well-being. But, and also they need three people in order to go for a quest. They need the sacred number. But Nico reasons that if he and Will go together and they join with Bob and Tartarus, there'll be three of them, and that's the proper number for the quest. So they are reluctantly and officially given the quest, and they agree to go. So something to note, because the way that this set of chapter ends makes me have a prediction, obviously, is Hades has said that no living person can enter his realm anymore because he just had a disastrous time when the doors of death were left open and people were coming and going like nobody's business. So he's just closed it off to living people. You can only enter the underworld if you're dead, and you can't leave it, which is reasonable. So then we have another little blip of, what did we decide, Gorgaira?
Yeah, sure. We can change it each time, honestly.
I know. I think it'll be fun. Gorgaira is talking to Will and Nico, and they ask about Nico's meet cute. They're like, you guys are cute together. How did you meet? And Will is, like, actively dying next to Nico.
Can you imagine?
And Nico's like, okay, let me tell you the story. And that flash forward ends. I was very confused by it. So Nico has to deal with Will and Chiron taking their time to prepare for this quest. They're packing, they're trying to check, think of every possibility, every item that they might need down in Tartarus. And Nico's like, I travel with sword and maybe one pair of socks. Like, I don't need anything else. We don't need anything else. But Will is packing a happy lamp along with his entire wardrobe. He also insists on them getting to New York City via normal human cab, which irks Nico even more. He's like, the gray ladies are hilarious. Also, shadow traveling is a great option for us, but Will won't hear of it. He basically knows that he's going to go to Tartarus, a place that he's actively not built for because he is the son of the god of the sun. And he's going to drain his energy faster than a normal demigod even would. And so Nico kind of lets him have this one. He's like, I would like to stay in my comfort zone and take a normal cab. And of course, the cab ends up being even more chaotic than shadow traveling would have been. So they get on the train into the city and they talk about Will's experiences with New York, with being with his mom when he visited when he was younger. And they debate on if they missed out on a normal childhood. It was an interesting conversation. I want to dive into it a little bit deeper because Nico asks this question, what feels unprompted to Will? Will is a little alarmed that Nico was wondering if he feels like he missed out on having a normal childhood. Will's like, of course, I wouldn't trade it for the world. I love being a demigod, the powers, the ability to help people, I can heal people. And Nico's like, yeah, no, same. Like, I like being strong too. And it's hilarious because Will is immediately like, my life is amazing. My powers are super cool. I glow in the dark. Nico's like, I have so much trauma. The dead talk to me all the time. Why don't nobody understands me? I'm so isolated. He's like, I love this strength, but it comes with just so much darkness. And this is where we see a theme that I think will continue for the rest of the book and really defines their relationship of like, Nico questioning if Will loves him or likes him despite his darkness or because of it. So Nico is like the darkness and all the death and everything is very a part of Nico and who he is as a core, as the son of Hades. And Will is the sunshine boy. And so for Nico, he's always on edge of like being insecure in their relationship. And for him in this situation, he's wondering if Will can accept those dark parts of him, or is Will loving him in spite of those dark parts, which is not healthy.
This is a theme that travels throughout the book with them. And I honestly, and this could be because we're getting Nico's perspective, but at this point in the book, I honestly think it's despite his darkness. Like, I don't think Will really understands the darkness. He calls him his little, like, grumpy little darkness ball or whatever, but I don't think he fully comprehends it or understands it. He views it more as like a weird quirk that Nico has.
Yeah, something that he could love out of him almost. Like if
Yes.
Nico is shown love, he will become a happier person, a more positive person, which isn't a healthy way to look at your partner.
No.
So Will falls asleep on Nico, and while they're traveling through the train, Nico has an idea to go talk to Percy and Annabeth about their experience together in Tartarus. So they decide to go on a detour and they end up at our queen Sally Jackson's house.
Everyone's gonna go here before a quest. Like, screw going to the Oracle. You need to go to Sally Jackson to
You
get
have
your
to get
quest.
fueled up and you gotta get some motherly love and a sage advice and then, pinch Estelle's cheek and then you get to go on your way. That's like the rule. So Sally Jackson is no stranger to having people show up at her do door, specifically demigods and gods. She gives Nico and Will cookies and shows them to Percy's room where he set up a humidifier, which is very smart. She spews a little bit of mist to talk to his friends via Iris message. Sally warns, like, learns about Nico and Will's quest and warns them of against going into Tartarus. And she hopes that Percy will be able to talk Nico out of it. Now, this is very interesting because Nico is actually hoping that Percy will be able to deter Will from joining him. He's hoping that Percy talking about his experience will make make Will not want to come. But we see that that's not going to happen. So Percy and Annabeth are in college in California studying in Percy's dorm room. They're happy to see Nico and Will, but then they're horrified that they're willingly going into Tartarus. But as they talk, Will starts hardening himself against. He learns that Nico wants Percy to kind of talk him out of it, and that makes him want to go even more, which very stubborn child, his father's son. Percy and Annabeth are like, why would you even go? And Nico's like, because of Bob, you idiots. Like, how could you not remember him? And they feel really guilty. I know. They feel super guilty about remembering Bob. I don't remember a Bob.
I don't remember. Where did we meet a Bob? Did we go to school with him?
It's very interesting reading from Nico's point of view, because Nico is like rightfully angry with them for forgetting him. And he like has a moment, the line that he thinks where Annabeth is like, well, why didn't Bob reach out to us? Why did he reach out to you? And in Nico's mind, he's like, because he probably didn't think you were going to answer. Like, he knew I would respond. And that was just like, oh, it was harsh. He holds it back, though, because that would have devastated. That would have ended the call right then and there. Like, they would have. Yeah. Annabeth and Percy would be in Tartarus right now if he had said that. So he's trying his best not to. Like, they're finally getting some peace. Nico fully believes that Percy and Annabeth have done their part and they're done and they deserved to rest. So he's like, this is my turn now. This is my quest. I'm the best person to go down. And for some reason, Will is joining me. So Annabeth and Percy remind them that the most powerful tool that they have is each other, and they have to lean on each other as much as possible. It's very interesting because Annabeth and Percy going into Tartarus, they were really solid. Like, there was no doubt in their relationship. There was like a little bit of hesitation when Annabeth saw what Tartarus was kind of turning Percy into when he was like essentially bloodbending down there. But other than that, Annabeth was very secure and like, Percy loves me. He fell into Tartarus for me, and Percy was very secure that Annabeth loved him. This is going to be a different situation. They're already kind of on shaky ground, so I'm very interested to see how this is going to go. Percy also asks Nico to keep his eye out for Small Bob, so he wants to see if they can be reunited, and he wishes them luck. So Nico and Will enter the underground through Orpheus's entrance in Central Park via Will's gentle singing.
More singing. Follows us everywhere.
At least we didn't get like, it was just like, oh, Will sang a song. It wasn't like a specific song, and there weren't any lyrics I had to read with my eyeballs.
He didn't sing Dear Mama about the Ant Mothers. I will never forgive Rip for that. If I were to ever interact with Rick, I'd probably be like, can you please explain your thinking on the Dear Mama song that Apollo sings? Thank you.
Or like him calling the Ant Mama and just, it's just so much. I try to block it out.
Can we dive into that a little bit? Like, come
on, Rick. Nico uses the glow of his sword to light the way, and they descend down the stairs. It sounds like something's behind them, but every time they stop and look and try to, like, prepare themselves for a fight, there's actually nothing. Will is tired, Nico is also tired since he's holding the sword, and he's on edge because last time he came through this way, he was on his way with Percy to betray him to his father. And he's trying to reason it into himself. He was like, yeah, that sucked, but I needed to learn more about my family. But also, like, my dad didn't really tell me anything, so it was bullshit. Also, I was young, but also Percy hated me in that moment. Like, all this stuff. He's monologuing. I thought it was very interesting because Nico's tired from holding the sword, and he doesn't remember being this tired last time, and he realizes because Percy was holding the sword the entire time. And there's a line where Nico realizes as he's getting older how much Percy did, and like the actions of Percy start to make sense, or they clarify for him. And I took it to mean of like, Nico put a lot of expectation on Percy, like he was the hero that Nico was worshiping at the time. And he was mad when Percy didn't follow through or come win in the end like he was supposed to, like, for example, making sure his sister came back alive and all of that stuff. And now Nico is like older, and he's probably in, we're guessing, 16, he's realizing that Percy did what is like impossible, and still Nico was unhappy with him. So it's nice because I feel like through Heroes of Olympus, Nico is just really angry with Percy because he's in love with him, or he has a crush on him, and it's at the unrequited love. And here we see Nico really seeing Percy as a good friend, as someone who he really cares about, and someone he really admires without the veil of like, I have a crush on you and you broke my heart.
And also, like, you got my sister killed, even though
Yeah,
that
that
wasn't
too.
really Percy's fault, but that was
No.
how Nico was viewing it.
Yeah. So Nico ends up seeing the underworld, and he's so excited to show Will around. He's like, "Look at my hometown." But for some reason, Will doesn't see it, and suddenly Nico's view vanishes and they're back at the steps. Nico is frustrated and he's scared, and Will is too, and Nico's frustrated with Will as well. And so they start walking down again, and he sees the underworld again, and he's like, okay, here we are this time for sure. And he looks around to see Will look panicked, and the surroundings change again. And this time they're in Central Park outside of the Orpheus entrance. All right. This little bit after, it's like coming on the heels of Annabeth and Percy being like, you gotta stick together. You are each other's best resources in there. And Nico's immediately annoyed with Will as soon as they end. He's like, he doesn't understand me.
It's like immediately we're not off to a good start on this, you guys.
He's like, I'm taking my boyfriend to hell and he thinks my house is smelly.
Understand. Like, I understand he's relate because he's relating, he's projecting his identity onto the underworld because he's a child of the underworld, and he's like, if you don't like my home, you don't like me. But also, like, bro, your dad lives in hell. Like,
Give us a
it's
break.
not like things are actively trying to kill you there. It's not like it's a fun, like, vacation home or something.
No.
He's like, my culture is not a costume. And it's like a ghost sheet.
That's good. No, it's very true, and it's hilarious to, like, because he's in a way justified because Will doesn't understand, and he feels like if the one person that he feels is on his side doesn't understand, then nobody can ever understand him ever again, because, a boy filled with insecurity and trauma. But at the same time, again, your dad lives in hell. It's like
Like, okay,
active
back it up.
souls swimming around in your lakefront property. Like, it's hard.
It's not like he just lives in like Manhattan or something. Like,
No.
I don't. Oh.
It was interesting to adjust to this book and this writing because it definitely is not Rick's writing. It is a different, like, but at the same time, it can be a good thing and it's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing because, in the sense of like the characterization of Will and Nico and their relationship, can be a little bit more authentic, probably more than Rick would understand. But at the same time, the writing itself is just so different. It took me a moment to get into it.
It's definitely a different writing style and different things that are being focused on that, like, wouldn't have been focused on in Rick's writing. But I think I like that they use someone who actually identifies as queer to write from, like, the story that at its heart is like a queer love story, and so I think that's very important. But yeah, I agree. I think the voice overall is different, and the structure of the story is very different than what we're used to seeing with these stories from this universe.
All right, so we do some lightning bolt questions.
Yes, so let's circle back to our Star Wars question. I guess we can answer both since it's not clear in the book. So I guess what overall Star Wars character would you go on a date with? And then specifically, what villain would you go on a date with?
It's interesting. So for an overall character, I think it would mix. I don't know. I've thought about this, but I think
I think about this every day,
every night. Yeah, young Obi-Wan from like the first movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Ewan McGregor. We'd have fun time. Villain.
I just googled Star Wars villains to get like a full list because like the they're all like a no.
Technically, Anakin is a villain by the second half of the third movie. So
He's honestly kind of sketchy by the second movie, to be honest. So
he's killed kids right before he goes crispy. So I think in that in between time, I'd go on a date. That's no other villain that I would. No, thank you.
I just feel like he would be really annoying.
Oh my god, he'd be the worst. He's hot, but at what cost?
Yeah, I mean, Han Solo is my not villain character, though some could argue he's also a villain. I looked up Star Wars villains, notable contenders, Jabba the Hutt. Probably young Anakin as well.
Like
he murders the children, but once he's an adult.
Yeah, okay.
When he's like, not when he himself is a child.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a hard one.
Yeah, he talks about how much he hates sand and his feelings. And
that would be kind of fun. He would love that Taylor Swift song.
Which one?
The new song where she's like, and the sand hurts my feelings. I always think of Anakin when I hear that line in the Taylor Swift song.
What song is that?
And I never don't cry at the club.
The sand hurts my feelings?
It's different. That's what it's called.
I guess I haven't listened to that one.
Yeah, there's a line where it's about the sand hurting her feelings. And every time I hear that line, I just think of Anakin. Like, I hate sand.
Interesting.
I take him on a date to a beach.
Just watch him throw a tantrum.
Yeah. It would be like to a sand castle. The goal would be sand castles. He would hate me.
Oh my god.
Okay.
He'd kill you.
He would murder me.
Yeah.
It's not hard for him. It would not be hard to get him to that point, actually. What is the weirdest recurring dream you've had? That's my question. Because Nico keeps having weird trauma dreams. Doesn't have to be a trauma dream. It can just be a normal recurring dream.
I had this dream when I was little that recurred for several years after I watched the movie Atlantis, the anime movie, where I would always be going on this like really cool kind of like Tomb Raider-y adventure. And I'm like trying to get through this maze and it's like this historic temple. And at the end, there was like a bunch of kids from my class who had like that necklace that they were in Atlantis. And they were like, oh, Monza, you don't, and they're tied up and I'm rescuing them. And they're like, Monza doesn't have a necklace. And I was just like, what the hell, dude? It just kept happening. And by like the 15th time, I swear, I was just kind of like, okay, this is all, I'm leaving you here. I'm not gonna save you. Yeah.
Nice.
What about you?
The one I think of when I was a kid that I was really scared of this dream because I like wouldn't want to fall asleep and I don't even know how to explain it. Like it's not. It would always be that I was like playing a computer game, and then I'd get sucked into it and like while I was going into like a haunted forest in a computer game, but then I'd get like trapped in it in real life. And it was like I wouldn't know the way out because I like it would zoom in so much like I couldn't see the map anymore. I don't know. It was like a weird recurring dream that I had that made me scared. But like it's just about like a video game.
That's so interesting. Like Jumanji really like got you, huh?
I did watch that movie a lot. I loved the original Jumanji.
Me too.
The new ones aren't bad, though. I've only seen one. I saw one. It was like, I had very low expectations because I loved the original, but it wasn't bad.
All right. My question is, so in this section of chapters, Sally mentions that she makes blue cookies not because they really need to be blue anymore, and Percy's not there anymore, but it's just out of habit. And she's like, I should make them a different color. What color would you like? And they say, oh, we don't want to bother you. What color would you dye or ask Sally to dye those cookies for a party that you're hosting?
Mm-hmm. I just know that Nico really wanted to say black.
Like, 100%. He's like, make him goth. Yeah.
For a party, if she can make the perfect blue cookies, I'm assuming that she can do anything with them, because blue cookies are hard, as we learned. I would love for them to be sparkly.
Ooh.
Like sparkly pink or sparkly silver. I want sparkly cookies. Are you up for the challenge, Sally?
Mm-hmm. I was thinking purple.
Nice.
Like, but then I was like, oh, when people make ube cookies, they're purple. So I don't think it's like that hard.
No.
To do. So I think I'd do something like neon orange.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, and they could be like orange flavored. You could have some like orange zest on there or something.
Yeah, something.
I like it.
All right. Okay, hopefully I will have gotten some sleep. So we'll that see. Next time that we do chapters 9 through 16 of The Sun and the Star, I will be more alive and less insane, but you know, no promises. So we'll be back.
We actually promise insanity.
That's true.
But yeah, so we will be back next week with that. If you are interested in supporting us, the links to all our things, Patreon, the Ko-fi, the merch, etc., should all be in the episode description, as well as the link to send us an audio message if you want to get any of your questions on the podcast.
Our social media is at Camp Half Pod on every social media you can think of. And our email is camphalfpod@gmail.com. I have a backlog of emails that I have to get to. You all are so kind and it overwhelms me. I have opened several emails, started writing, and felt like they were not matching up to the amount of love that you guys put. So I will try again with a little bit more rest in me.
And as we always say, don't forget to rate and review if you haven't already, if you've made it this far. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
I was waiting for you to say bye.
I know, it's my bad.